Our next speaker is Rebecca Kwong. Rebecca Kwong graduated from the Walsh School in 2018, where she majored in international history. A Carroll Fellow, she was awarded a Marshall Scholarship after her Georgetown graduation, which she used to pursue a master's in philosophy and Chinese studies at the University of Cambridge and a master's in studies at Oxford in contemporary Chinese studies. Also in 2018, Harper Voyager published her first novel, The Poppy War, after a heated auction that coincided with her 20th birthday. She has gone on to produce the Poppy War trilogy. Her fiction combines a unique blend of historical richness and imaginative storytelling. At just 27, having already published 5 novels, she has been named a number one New York Times and a number one Sunday Times best-selling author. Her work has won the Nebula, Locus, Crawford, and British Book Awards. She was listed in the 2023 Time 100 Next list and the Forbes 30 Under 30 class of 2024. While continuing to publish fiction, she is currently pursuing a doctorate in East Asian languages and literatures at Yale, where she researches Sinophone literature and Asian American literature. She speaks to you now on behalf of all those Georgetown classes who have gone before you into the world as people for others. Rebecca.
Class of 2025. 7 years ago, I was sitting where you are, waiting to start the rest of my life, and it's such an honor to be invited back to help send you along your way. It felt strange to write a commencement speech at a time when higher education is under federal attack. Universities were once national treasures, but today the tides of our culture have shifted so that now intellectualism, inquiry, and curiosity are sins. When I began my PhD, I knew the academic job market would be tough. I didn't know that entire departments would just close up shop. But the decline of the university started a long time ago. And our generation entered college when public faith in higher education was at an all-time low. Now the perception is that college is where you go to be politically brainwashed, change your gender, have ChatGPT write your papers, get high on someone's Village A apartment balcony, and talk about Derrida, and pay exorbitant tuition rates you'll never earn back because now college doesn't even help you land a job. We are so accustomed to speaking of the university as a frivolity, as a luxury, that we've forgotten how rare a space like this is. And I'd like to share the story of how the men in my family have been trying to get educated for generations. My great-grandfather was from a small village in Hunan province. He was the first in his family to become literate, and he graduated near the top of his high school class. He would have attended Lingnan University in Guangzhou, but a civil war was raging at the time, and his family feared that if he traveled down to Guangzhou, he would get killed. So instead, he became an elementary school teacher. But the Maoist regime cracked down on intellectual dissent in the late 1950s, and he was persecuted and sacked and made to become a peasant farmer. My grandfather only got as far as middle school. Those were the famine years. They were just too poor, and schooling was a luxury good. He never got an education, and he regretted it for the rest of his life. My father was born in the middle of the Cultural Revolution. That was a decade of ideological hysteria, when intellectuals were beaten, imprisoned and executed, when universities were shut down, and students sent to the countryside for political re-education. But Mao Zedong died when my father was 8 years old, and the national college entrance exams in China were reinstated the following year. The whole family was so excited. This was it. This was when they were going to finally send someone to college. So my great-grandfather made the rounds, visiting his old teacher friends, trying to find any textbooks that had survived the purges. And as my father puts it, we had someone who could teach, and we had someone who wanted to learn, and we were happy. And my father was pretty good at learning. He wound up at Beijing University, the best school in the country. And there he was drawn to physics because the natural laws of the universe seemed objective and definable. The truth was clear, and no amount of ideology could dim that light. He scored well on the China-US physics examination and application, and was admitted to pursue his PhD here in the States. And he graduated from Beijing University in the summer of 1989. Something else happened that summer. Hu Yaobang, the former general secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, passed away. He had been a reformer within the party, a supporter of economic and political liberalization, for which he had been forced to resign. And when the news broke of his death, students in Beijing flooded Tiananmen Square in protest. And my father joined his classmates in the streets, demanding freedoms of speech, freedoms of press, and democratic reforms. I've asked if he was ever afraid in those early days of the demonstrations, and he said no. He said the students were happy-go-lucky in the beginning. We thought we were on the right side of history. We were all swept up in it. We thought the students were going to win. And it was just a total shock, something none of them could have imagined, when the state sent in the tanks. So when he boarded a plane for California, America represented this utopia where one could think and speak freely. You'll never find a bigger patriot than my dad. He flies the red, white, and blue on the 4th of July. He rocks a cowboy hat. He loves fishing and grilling and driving his truck. He says he's already fled one authoritarian state and he's not going to flee another. Flash forward to 2013. In the entire history of my family, I was in the very first generation not to wonder whether I would be allowed to finish high school, whether universities would even be open when I applied, whether I could speak and study freely when I got there. I became a Hoya simply because I wanted to, and I changed my major 3 times just because I could. So, yes, the university is a luxury. And when you think about your time here, I hope you remember the sheer luxury of thought. And I mean luxury in every sense of the word. Remember idling through the course catalog like it was a buffet? Reading Aristotle one semester, Kant the next, misinterpreting Milton, pretending we'd read Joyce, dozing through lectures, begging extensions for papers because we got sick, when actually we were hungover, and killing off our grandparents to excuse absences in early morning sections. I have 7 grandparents. What a blessing this was, to have time and space to think and procrastinate and be wrong and try again. I was a Carroll Fellow when I was at Georgetown, and we were taught to live by the motto, Mentis Vita Pro Vita Mundi, the life of the mind for the life of the world. And to a lot of people, the life of the mind is an ivory tower for spoiled brats. And they're not always wrong. There is so much rot in the contemporary university. And sometimes it resembles more an amusement park, a members club for the elites, a corporation, anything except a place to produce knowledge and share it with the world. In the contemporary university, the gates are always locked, and honest dialogue has almost become a fugitive act. But at its best, Georgetown at her best, a university is such an impossible fantasy, a place where we can test dangerous, unorthodox ideas, where we can dream up better worlds, where we can make mistakes, where we can change our minds. The life of the mind is a utopia, and history proves its precarity. It will die if we stop fighting for it. So if I can charge you with anything, class of 2025, it is to hold on to that luxury. Refuse the poverty of thought. Stay curious. Avoid dogma. Question everything. Seek the hidden and the inconvenient truths. Learn things because they're useful. Learn things for the sheer pleasure of learning. Jump down rabbit holes just because you can. Think in the round. We're out of Eden now. And the trials ahead of you will make you question the foundations of that utopia, if ever it was one. Now you will put your ideals to the test, and more likely than not, watch your dreams meet the crushing anvil of reality. You are stepping into a world now where if you hold on to your principles, sooner or later you will be staring down a tank. But my father emerged from that bloody square, and the first thing he did was seek out another classroom. So some of us will remain in the university. Some of us will trade the life of the mind for the life of the world. But wherever you go, I hope you remember these halcyon days when all that was asked of us was to look for the light. Congratulations, class of 2025, Hoya Saxton.